Eyes still closed, Mary listens to Edmund's light snoring as he lies next to her. She is aware of the house at rest, the house she and Edmund have lived in since they married 15 years ago. Outside, she can hear a light breeze play through the trees. There is nothing to indicate anyone else is awake. No thumping down the hallway of her children. Child. All the sinks and toilets are mute. She lies still and listens to the silence of the house. Satisfied she is the only one awake, she gradually opens her eyes and stares at the back of her husband's head. Edmund has always slept soundly. Mary hasn't slept well in months, ever since Tommy drowned. She is glad Edmund can sleep. Someone needs to be strong for the family. He seems to have found some peace in their loss. She reaches out and gently touches his short hair. Edmund, my love. What he doesn't know and wouldn't understand is that their son, while dead, isn't gone. Mary slowly rolls to her other side. She sees the clock shimmering, 4:17. The soft red glow of the digital clock casts a pink, pale light across her side of the room. She blinks and watches the thin curtains shift in the light breeze coming through the open window. She sits up on the edge of the bed and rests her feet on the cold wood floor. All her movements are slow and silent. She glances at the clock again, 4:18, almost the same time as the other nights. She doesn't think the actual timing is important for this to work, but it can't hurt to be consistent. Next to the clock sits a crowd of prescription bottles. Pills for depression, pills for lack of energy, pills to help her sleep, pills to wake her up, and pills so she forgets. Mary ignores the bottles. She stopped taking her medicine days ago and has felt much better since. She stands up and pauses, listening for changes in Edmund's breathing. She walks around the bed and into the bathroom. Gently closing the door, she turns on the small nightlight. Evel Knievel, Tommy's favorite. The small light provides just enough illumination. She knows the layout of the bathroom well, so she doesn't need the light to navigate, but does need it to see if something changes, or if anything, or anyone, arrives. Mary opens the bathtub curtain all the way. Turning her back, she peers into the mirror above the sink. From her tippy toes, she can see through the mirror into the tub. Mary pauses at the mirror, glancing at herself. The dim glow from the nightlight casts rippled shadows across her skin. Her straight, dark hair frames the pale skin of her face, making it appear paper-thin with dark circles under her eyes. These visits are rare and always a bit different. But what Mary is sure of is that her son has visited her. She has felt him. Mary turns the tap and fills the sink with water. She dips a finger into the water, then taps the mirror above the sink. As she taps, she whispers his name. Tommy. She says his name and taps again. And again, nothing happens. Her whispers turn to sobs. She falls to her knees, leaning her arms on the sink, and shudders. I love you, baby. I love you, Tommy. She sniffles. Please visit me, Tommy. I miss you so much. Her sobbing slows. Mary breathes deeply. Where are you, my darling?